Hi there, it's Nick here. We've got a really special offer for you. For listeners of the Nick Luck Daily podcast, you can head to York for the first day of the Dante Festival for less than half price, just £12 per ticket for grandstand and paddock access for Wednesday the 15th of May. You can get up to 5 tickets per booking, and all you need to do is head to the website yorkracecourse.co.uk and enter your redemption code YORKNLD24, YORKNLD24. And you can head to York for Musidora Day, Duke of York Stakes Day, one of the fantastic meetings in the calendar, first day of the Dante meeting, for £12, up to 5 of you. Don't miss out.
You're listening to Nick Luck Daily. This edition is brought to you by Timeform, the trusted source of racing data and analysis. By the Racehorse Owners Association and by the Racing App in partnership with FitzDares.
Hi there, welcome to the show. Lovely spring day here. Early summer day, you might even say, in TW11. And that is, amazingly, the weather for the first day of Chester's May Festival, which often doesn't have the best of luck. They've needed some. They've got it. They've got luck with a terrific Derby trial, potentially, this afternoon in the Chester Vars. More of which later, and I'm sure, reflections upon which tomorrow. We'll be discussing the Poules d'Essai de Poulain Pouliche, the French 1000, 2000 Guineas, opening up their classic season this weekend. I'll be talking to the trainer of Dancing Gemini, Roger Teal. He might be one of the few trainers outside Aidan O'Brien and Charlie Appleby that actually has a runner in the Derby this year. Plus, news that there's going to be yet another breeze-up sale in the spring. How many is too many? I ask consigner Con Marnan. I'm not sure I necessarily get a conclusive answer, but I do get answers to plenty of questions, and he's very engaging, as is always the case. First, however, I want to bring you news of Big Rock, one of the most exciting horses in Europe. You could argue one of the most exciting in the world off the back of his Queen Elizabeth II Stakes at Ascot romp last autumn when he was trained by Christopher Head. Now, he was recently, controversially, moved to trainer Maurizio Guarnieri in conjunction with all the other horses in that ownership group, the Guarda Centurion group. And I put in a call to his new trainer this morning just to see what the plans were and when we were going to see him, because all the balls were up in the air, and this is what he had to say.
Normally, he will run in Newbury, 18th
so of May. He's coming for the lock-in. How have you found him since you took him over? What's he been showing you? How is he?
He's a horse very, very quiet, easy. Very easy. He will do everything. That I ask. All the time is very quiet, very relaxed. I think is a fantastic horse. Yes, but in the morning he don't show everything. He work. He did a good work, but all the time, he don't give 100% of his powerful. Mm. Okay.
And are you in a position to tell me how fit he is now? Will he be 100% for his first run?
He arrived at the stable 25 of April, so I have not a lot of time at disposition to know everything of the horse. So normally we did a blood test, everything, to know that is okay, and is okay. And I know it's very, very hard to do a race like this first race of the year, but we don't change the program, okay? Mm.
Tell me, how is Blue Rose Sen getting on?
Blue Rose Sen, normally we run pretty fun, 26th of May. She's plenty of time that she is at the stable. Mm-hmm. She arrived in January. So mm-hmm. we have a different type of training for her. is at the moment is all right, and she worked on the grass two times, and she worked again one time on the grass, and I hope she's ready to run.
Okay, and who is going to ride the horses this year, Maurizio?
Le Maître.
So he will keep the ride on all the horses.
Yeah, okay.
I wish you all the very best.
Thank you.
All right, then, that's Maurizio Guarnieri, the new trainer of Big Rock and Blue Rose Sen. A confirmation, then, that Big Rock will head to the Lockinge, we think, to take on Inspiral, and will still be ridden by Aurelia Le Maître. Both those bits of news are of significance, Jane, for different reasons. First of all, it's good news the horse is still coming, though interesting that the trainer says, really, he doesn't show much at all at home in the mornings.
That's hard to believe, considering how he blitzed the field at Ascot last year, front-running performance. And if anything, he's a very generous horse on the racetrack. But Maurizio has a steep hill to climb, because in his, was it 8 runs for Chris Head last year, he's never out of the first two, won his first 3 starts last year. Second to Ace Impact as Shanti in the Prix de Jockey Club, and of course culminating in that unbelievable performance in the QE2, albeit on soft ground. But I'm massively excited to see him back. Lockinge, he's currently in behind Inspiral in the betting, but if he turns up having improved for the 3-4 winter break, he's a bit of a monster.
And of course, Aurelien Le Maître has become the armchair jockey's favourite enfant terrible. Now, there's always one French jockey, isn't there, that gets a load of stick because nobody would be brave enough to do the same to an English or Irish jockey. So everyone just serves it up to the French jockey. And at the moment, it's Aurelien Le Maître after his efforts on Blue Rose Sen in the Nassau and Ramatuelle the other day in the Guineas.
Yes, but then they don't, the same armchair jockeys don't concede when he gets the fractions 100% right on British Champions Day at Ascot. So it's very easy to point the finger, but ultimately Aurelien is getting these rides on these top class horses for good reason. And I have my own thoughts on Ramatuelle. I think she's got the speed that could merit a drop back to the Commonwealth if they decided to do that. I thought she showed that at Newmarket, but he's a man in demand, and not just for Big Rock or for Chris Head, but for one of my favourite fillies in training, Blue Rose Sen.
Yeah, Blue Rose Sen, who'll begin her campaign in the pre-dispo. Now, Maurizio said, obviously, he'd had her since January, so he was a bit more clued up on how to train her. It ought to be pointed out, it's not been a stellar start for the yard, who'd obviously done very well last year, hence the horses moving to them. And this is going to be a big test, but it's not as though he's 22 and just starting out in his career. He's been around the block a bit, so I'd say he'll wear the pressure okay.
Yeah, and I'd imagine he'll be realistic about this, because he's inheriting two horses who are literally top drawer. Their CVs are relatively unblemished. So ultimately, you are a little bit like Aurelien. You're there to be shot at. But look, let's see what they can do this year. It's another layer of intrigue to two top-class horses. And we'll see what they can do. But I'd imagine with the view to France this weekend, our concentration will be probably more focused on their classics.
Yeah, the Poulesse des Poulains, the Poulesse des Pouliches this Sunday at Longchamp. A very strong representation from all three major racing nations in Europe. And where Aidan O'Brien was disappointed with City of Troy, it may be that Henry Longfellow emerges as Ballydoyle's most exciting three-year-old in the next few days.
That's very possible. Out at Dubawi, out of my favourite race mare to come out of Ballydoyle, Minding. I'd love to get a bit of that truth, you know, the Harry Potter truth potion. I'd imagine she ranks right up there with any of the colts that they've trained, if they admitted that. But he won very well last year at the National Stakes. He's beaten Buccaneer Fuerte, who's in there for Adrian Murray. The Gosden team of Even Shaddad. Diego Velasquez is also in there, but I see him as a mile and a half prospect for this year, a little bit like Ylang at the weekend. And Chris Head, we should mention on the back of Big Rock and Blue Rose Sen, has Ramadan.
All right, French Guineas this weekend. Poulesse des Poulains is going to be a pretty tough race, but that's not going to stop Roger Teal with Dancing Gemini, who had some very high-class form as a two-year-old. Got slightly stuck in the mud on his final start. Still a respectable run. Roger's with me now. Roger, how's he doing?
Yeah, thrilled with him, Nick. He's training well, and we've had a couple of race course gallops with him, and everything seems to be going well. So, very happy.
And he's a horse who I said I sort of took from the run at Doncaster that he got stuck in the mud. Was that your reading of it as well?
Yeah, I mean, it was, look, when he won the listed race, it was soft ground there, but in the last race, it was very, very heavy, heavy ground, and he travelled great in it, but he just, like you say, when he's got an electric turn of foot, and he just got, like you said, a little bit stuck in the mud towards the end there. But he still ran a solid race. You know, he wasn't beaten very far. And like I said, it was his first time over a mile. They had the horse that obviously got upset in the stalls, so they were all loaded and then they had to reload them. And so a lot of nervous energy was burnt up as well, rather than physical energy as well before the race. So I think, I know they all had to do it, so not making excuses, but I'm just saying it probably just helped on his stamina in that ground on his first time over a mile. So yeah.
Now, you mentioned the distance. Obviously, it's a reasonably sharp mile at Longchamp, and a lot of his form and his pedigree suggests he might run a little bit further. What are you thinking at the moment as regards his likely distance requirement?
Well, we do feel he's bred to stay. I mean, he's by Camelot out of an Australian mare, which is well documented. So yeah, and he's such a relaxed horse. I think, you know, he's in the Derby. We'll sort of be a bit wiser come after the weekend, you know. Like I said, he's such a lovely, relaxed horse but he has got a great turn of foot as well. So hopefully the French style of racing will suit him.
If he runs a nice race at the weekend, win, lose or draw, is the Derby uppermost in your mind? Is that where you'd really like to run?
Yeah, well, we thought we'd use, been a bit cheeky, we thought we'd use one of the guineas as a prep for the Derby.
Plenty have done it before, Roger, in fairness.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's Mr. Fish's and his wife are very keen to go to the Derby, whether it be the French or the English. He's in both. So if he runs well in Paris, then, you know, the French style suits him. Maybe we might go there or if need be, go to Epsom, which would be great, you know.
Now, it's July 2021 that we last saw Oxted, but when I interviewed Kieran Fallon the other day, I nearly fell off my chair because he said he's back and he is entered in the Duke of York next week. Is he going to run?
He's not going to run in that, no, because he's doing really well, but we don't want to force him. So we're just letting him just decide when we can run him, you know. So but no, that's probably come a little bit too soon for us. I entered him with hope that we might make it, but he's such a big boy now that he's carrying a lot of condition, and we just don't want to sort of wind him up too soon. We just got to be patient, and hopefully everything will come together.
So what's the story been? What's the how have the 3 years managed to pan out?
Well, obviously, he did a tendon, first of all, and then we got him back, got him over that, which was great, and he was due to run at York, I think it was last year, and 5 days before, 4 or 5 days before, he just had a routine canter. As he pulled up, I don't know whether he stepped in a hole or whatever, but he tripped and stumbled, and he managed to overreach badly, and he took the back of his heel off, sort of a nasty cut, and we thought that was it, but obviously I think what he'd done, he'd cannoned into the back of himself and he'd given himself another tear in his tendon, more of a blow rather than a sort of tear. So so unfortunately it put us back another 12 months. So So here we are, still trying to get him back on track. But, you know, everything's going well. Scans well. We're having regular scans on him. Everything. But we just got to be patient because, you know, he's a lot bigger unit than he used to be. We've just got to be everything. Everyone's just got to give him the best chance we can just to get him back on the track in one piece.
That's Roger Teal, trainer of Dancing Gemini, who's set for the Poulain at the weekend en route to the Derby, and it is encouraging to hear somebody who's not called O'Brien or Appleby say that they've got a horse for the Derby, because I think between Godolphin and Coolmore, they've got about the front eight or nine in the market, Jane, and that could only intensify with the result of the Chester Vars this afternoon, Grosvenor Square, taking on a horse that I think showed loads and loads of potential at Newbury, and I don't think I'm exactly the only one.
I'm not the only one who thinks when they see a Dubawi contesting a Derby trial or indeed the Epsom Derby that they think, okay, not going to stay the trip, put a line through that. But when you throw in the fact that Galileo Mares can have any kind of an effect, Hidden Law definitely comes into our thinking, because Secret Gesture crossed with Dubawi, Hidden Law is definitely a formidable opponent to Grosvenor Square. It hasn't produced the winner of the Epsom Derby since 2013, but it gets our juices flowing for the Classic, because last year when Arrest won it impressively, we all got behind him. I remember Sir Dragonet went favourite for the race when Dunica O'Brien rode him in 2019, US Army Ranger the same in 2016. Aidan has made this race his own since Ruler of the World won it in 2013. He's run it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times in the last 10 renewals of the race. Do I think that this year's Epsom Derby winner is going to come out of the Chester Vase? Well, they'd have to blow me away, because we get the juices flowing, but I'm just not convinced that that we're going to see a horse to take the scalp of an Arabian Crown or an Angel
or a City of Troy, who's been backed 7s into 5s the last 24 hours. Any interest there, Jane?
Yeah, I honestly don't know what to think, because I am convinced that he didn't turn up for whatever reason, whether he trained on or not trained on. But that's, everybody's got their own opinion on that.
And I want your hot take. I've had everyone else's hot take.
My hot take.
Hot take. Well, it's not hot anymore, is it? I want your tepid, your lukewarm take on City of Troy.
I think if he was half the horse this year as he was last year, he'd have got further than the 4 furlong pole before coming off the bridle. So, for whatever reason, he didn't turn up.
But you're a horse. You're a horse person. You know, you spend every day around horses. Did he look to you like a horse who was just a bit fried, or what? I mean, I don't know. He seemed to run on one gulp, really, didn't he? Just sort of ran on his nerves a bit.
This isn't a cop out, but I was at Punchestown. I was hosting the show at Punchestown, and the only coverage I've seen of the 2000 Guineas is online the race, so I cannot say I saw the preliminaries or any of the comments. But for me, any horse that has this reputation that gets a push from Ryan Moore at the four pole in a Guineas, that's just not nearly the translation of his 2-year-old form.
All right, are we going to see him again?
I would say so. I'd say he will. Yeah.
Now, Jane, there's news from the Breeze Up sales world. Another Breeze Up sale has come along.
Yes, fresh on the back of Goffs announcing that they would have one in 2025 run at Nace at the beginning of June. Goresbridge and Ed Donoghue have announced that they too will return to the Breeze Up fold at Goran Park with a mid-May sales fixture, making it the third Breeze Up sale in Ireland next year. And I wonder, Nick, on the back of Brexit and a number of other expanding expenses, and the fact that 90% of Breeze Up horses come from Ireland anyway, is Ireland going to become the hub of Breeze Up sales in Europe?
Well, it might do. I've been talking to Conmar Nan, the perhaps most celebrated Breeze Up consigner of the last couple of decades, and I asked him, how many were too many Breeze Up sales, and were there room for them all?
If the prize money increased in England, there would be
we wouldn't have enough of sales. The prize money in England has got to, they have got to cop on. And I was in Australia for January, and I saw the way they run things down there, and I was gobsmacked. It was so good. Everybody was getting some money. There was huge syndicates, some people loaning 1% and 2% of a horse, and it was, they all get a good chance of winning some prize money back, and it was fantastic. We race a good few in France, and there's been a couple of, I think there's 10,000-50,000 unraced maidens down there this year. People are getting a good chance of getting their training fees paid back. If it happened in England, I tell you, the sportsmen that are in England that have horses that just love their racing and everything, I don't know, something just has to happen about prize money.
Con, doesn't that now equally, particularly since COVID, doesn't that equally apply to Ireland? You've got quite a lot of high-value maiden races now being run in England. I think there was one at Beverley the other day worth £30,000. It applies both sides of the Irish Sea, doesn't it, the prize money situation, particularly as you climb up the grades?
Yes, definitely. But like in Ireland, it's so difficult to win a maiden. You'd nearly want a group horse to win a maiden. And even if you finish second or third, the phone is hopping trying to get it sold to America or Hong Kong or wherever. Not so much in France, but you can race for very good prize money in France. But like, I just think that if the prize money increased in England, there is room for these sales. Now, I'd say a lot of this year, a lot of the horses that were at the Breeze Up sales were recycled yearlings. What I call a recycled yearlings. They weren't sold as yearlings, and the consigners or the owner says, "Oh, we'll breeze that." But I would imagine that only 50% of the horses are genuinely sold at the Breeze Up sales now. The clockers, the lasers, it's so difficult. Now, I know this year was a disaster with ground and everything, but like we have no other choice. We couldn't raffle horses this year at some of the Breeze Up sales, and we sold others very well. So the ones that haven't sold are going to go into training.
So my sort of feeling is that there are too many conditions to make it feasible that there are this many sales, but it's too many ifs, isn't it?
Well, I'd say, Nick, they're gone too late anyway, because our costs have gone through the roof. I was buying straw 2 years ago for €22 a bale. I had to give €50 for it there about 6 weeks ago. So some of our costs have doubled. If they had the sales at the end of March, beginning of April, maybe the 1st of April, or something like that, we would be able to move on some of these horses. But like, I can't understand why they're having them so late. I think it's madness. Like a 2-year-old ready to run, and by the time you get it home, get it named, into the new trainer, getting used to the new riders, new gallops. I just, like, the Breeze Up to me is a nice, good, sharp 2-year-old that's ready to run. And we have horses ready to run straight away after the Breeze Up sales.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, if you're pushing into this time of year, your Royal Ascot dream's as good as dead, isn't it?
Well, there's always Royal Ascot. It's the most important racecourse in the world. You know, it's all about Royal Ascot. Like, you can see what happened to us last year there with Gimme the Beat Boys. Like, it's, the dream is alive.
All right.
Well, we've had 4 or 5 winners over there at Royal Ascot meeting. I think we've had 3 2-year-old winners there, which is, and 2 seconds as well. So it's, we our horses, I aim them for Ascot if I can.
Speaking of which, how is Gimme the Beat Boys? That was an excellent comeback win, presumably on track for the Royal meeting again.
The dream is alive.
Commonwealth Cup.
Yeah. He's entered in both. He's entered in the Commonwealth and he's entered in the Kingstand.
Okay, which would you favour?
We'll tell you the next time. He's going to Naas, I think, for another trial there, Group 3, and we'll make a decision then. I could see him running twice.
And have you got some flying machines, Con, to back him up in the 2-year-old races?
There's a couple of nice horses there ready to go into training. I have a nice horse over with Kevin Ryan. He took him over for me, and we have a couple with Jesse, and there's a couple of nice young ones coming along. There's a nice bungle in the jungle filly there. She's a full sister to Funny Money Honey. we called her Flash the Cash. Wow. She may run soon there, but she may go for one of those Goffs bonus races as well. So if she wins that, she wins 50 grand on top. So that'll pay a lot of training fees.
All right, that was Conmar Nan, Jane. I'm not really quite sure, although I really enjoyed that chat, we conclusively answered the initial question.
No, Con, well done. You avoided that question. Lovely. I think there's a contraction in the market of breeze-ups at the moment. We know that from clearance rate. We know that from middle market toughness, let's be honest. He said himself he couldn't raffle some horses at some of the sales this year. So it's an unusual time to be introducing breeze-up sales, but it also might be welcomed from consigners from the perspective of expenses, like he mentioned, and travelling horses to the UK. I understand his concerns for the timing of these breeze-ups. He would prefer them earlier in late March, maybe early April. My own head tells me that you're going to have heavy ground on racetracks when you're breezing those horses at that time of year. And I don't think anybody would be encouraged by breezing horses on heavy ground, but that's just one factor to consider. In my own head, every year there's sales added to the calendar, and I always, probably a little bit conservatively, think that's the wrong thing to do, because we're in an age where, you know, horses are being bred for the sharp right-handed track of the sales ring rather than the actual tracks themselves. But maybe that's the traditionalist in me talking. It just, everybody's getting their lion's share, shall we say.
I was a little alarmed to hear Con saying that most of those breeze up, or half those breeze up horses, were what he called recycled yearlings that people couldn't sell. I mean, if that's the case, then that is going to affect the clearance rate, because by very dint of the fact that people didn't want them the first time round, they're probably not that desirable second time round.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think that that's an overall reflection of the market at the moment. I don't think the British market is terribly strong. I think we're heavily reliant on foreign markets who can buy horses with form as well as buy breeze-ups. So it's competition. And then you have barrier trials run in Ireland as well, which is further competition. So there's only so much money in the pool. There seems to be a growing number of sales. Is there a growing number of horses? No. So, I see competition amongst sales companies as extremely healthy. So I welcome Ed Donoghue and his family back to the market in terms of the National Hunt sale they held with Point to Pointers, and now back into the flat fold. But from a vendor's and buyer's perspective, I just don't know if there's enough months in the year, days in the months. It's just going to be full of sales.
All right. Bright new dawn potentially today for Bryony Frost, who rides in France at Auteuil, and she's got two rides, one of whom is quite a high-profile horse in quite a decent race, €88,000 race for Simon Meunier and Isaac Suede, her new owners, who she's developed this relationship with, and it's set to be a pretty fruitful one, I think. I've just about managed to catch her, I think, signal permitting, on the train to Auteuil now. Bryony, bonjour.
Bonjour, Savannah. Yeah, no, we're good. We're holding signal, which is great. Experience getting on the train, but, it's all fantastic on our way to Auteuil.
Okay, great. This is a pretty smart start to proceedings as well, because it's not too shabby a race, a pretty good horse as well. What are you expecting this afternoon?
Well, of course, it's the double green team it's brilliant. We're heading up. It's the day we were at Auteuil on Saturday with Benoit, and to have a good look around with no racing, there's no pressure. So I took some long walks around the track, seeing it for the first time, just trying to grab as much advantage as I can for knowledge. So coming up here today, it isn't a shock to see things for the first time. We'll go back out on track, walk it, and get out on both the boys that are running today, and go and find a rhythm and see what we can do.
Did this opportunity come as a surprise, or has it been in the pipeline for a little while?
It's difficult to say if it's a surprise, but it's a huge opportunity, one that fills you with huge self-confidence. Yeah, Double Green, a phenomenal team. Always thinking of new ways to grab the advantage. And for me, it's brilliant. It's more than brilliant. It's a dream. And the confidence that it gives you to join a team like this is just, yeah, it's brilliant. I'm going to grab it. Can't wait to work hard. Can't wait to bring them success and do my job well.
And to be honest with you, £4 allowance, you must feel like a bank robber.
Yeah, all opinions on it. But for me, it's a cherry on top. It's not for every race. Like today, we're not claiming.
Right.
But for the races you do, it's like I say, it's literally a cherry on top. I'll take it. If someone's offering it to you, then you're going to grab it and say thank you very much and let it gain that advantage out on track.
Okay, so what about the logistics then? Are you just going to keep commuting backwards and forwards, or are you going to go and get a place in France?
No, we're here. Basically, it's wherever Double Green need me to go. You know, I'm at their disposal, so where they say I will go, and that's you know, that's brilliant. That's what I want to do. From going and sitting on horses, schooling them in the mornings, getting to know the team, seeing the young horses over here. It's a huge operation and one that I'm just really excited to be a part of.
So you're fully fledged, fully immersed. Okay, so who's responsible for Frodon in your absence?
So Frodon and Pat Courton are in Devon, like they have always been. And I will be back and forth on my free days, because it's actually easier for me to get home from France than it is from where I was living in the UK. I'm about an hour behind what I would do if I was driving in England. So, and Philippa, who's basically like family to us, she's our head girl at home, has been doing lots of work with Frodon's flat work. And, you know, the boys are there to enjoy and have fun with and go for rides. So that's what they'll continue doing when I was in England, just as busy. So, yeah, the boys are great. They're going up a few belt sizes. I think Frodon's now got his ticket to maybe go to Bath and West Showground for his first showing experience with Philippa. And so I'll try and get over and watch them. That'll be fantastic. And yeah, but the boys are great. I get daily updates on them, eating polos and carrots, so they're top notch.
And how have you found the sort of people in France to deal with the trainers and other jockeys? Have they been helpful for you?
Extremely welcoming. My French is, like I say, limited. So it's the language barrier, but Google Translate is a godsend, and there's some brilliant people that can talk quite a bit of English. So you find your way, and, you know, the routines, once you get a hold of the routine, where you go and what you're doing, you start to fall into place. And the training regime out here with the schooling and just the way that they do things, the young horses' knowledge. I've sat on some very smart horses already, and it's just, you know, as a jockey, that's what you want to do, especially with the schooling and the jumping and just growing in yourself like this is fantastic. It's brilliant. I'm buzzing.
Bryony, best of luck. I promise not to bother you every time you ride a winner, but if this gets off to a good start, this may become a semi-regular slot. Thanks ever so much. Good luck.
It's always good chatting. Thanks. Cheers.
All right, that was Bryony Frost. All the best to her. This is a big opportunity, Jane, and I can't see how this isn't going to be quite a significant success. I know she's not claiming today, but £4 in other races, people are going to bite her hand off, aren't they?
100%, it's a steal. And I can't imagine when Bryony started venturing across the channel to France that she would have envisaged an opportunity like this so quickly. And I'd say this is probably a dream come true for her to have first choice of any amount of quality horses for Connections, who obviously we are familiar with here in the UK and Ireland, but they have had top class horses over there as well. And it's a big opportunity for her to get off to the best possible start with Raffles Nobu this afternoon in Auteuil. It's a listed race. He's extremely well bred, being by authorised out of Utopie de Boer. 4-year-old race, and Bryony Frost, this is your time to shine.
Yeah, it definitely is. And the other thing about it is that it won't have escaped her notice, and it hasn't escaped quite a few, that if you look at the MO of the owners, Simon Maneer and Isaac Swade, I mean, they picked up Daryl Jacob at a a fairly kind of crossroadsy bit of his career, and really kind of revivified it and been very, very loyal to him. So one thing she knows is that, you know, one suboptimal ride is not going to mean that they're going to move on. You know, they tend to stick by their people. They have faith in them, and on it goes.
Yeah, they believe very much in the team effect, and you put in the work behind the scenes as well as on the racetrack getting the results, you'll be rewarded with that loyalty. But like, Bryony is still in her 20s. She's such a talent, so she deserves to be riding horses of considerable quality. She showed the hunger to go looking for these opportunities by going to France off her own back. And the fact that this job has come along is the result of her looking for that. Now, I know some riders will listen in and say, well, you know, she's one of many riders with talent looking for opportunities, but she, with the King George in the past, with grade ones of both sides of the Irish Sea, she sees any opportunity she got in the past. Yeah. And I hope this is going to be the start of big things for her.
Sometimes you have to do something different to make stuff happen. I mean, it worked for James Reevely, obviously, to spectacular effects. And I've said this before. I remember years and years ago working for Channel 4, and John Frankham kept going on and on and on about how good James Reevely was, yet there weren't really many trainers that excited by his ability. And he now, when he comes back over here, he looks completely different class. You know, he was right all along.
He was. And again, James Reevely, Felix de Giles, you know, they cite the prize money in France as well. Like the listed race that's being run today at Auteuil, has a total purse of 88 grand, first prize 40 grand. You know, you have to win a considerable race in the UK to earn that, and indeed in Ireland. There are grade ones run in Ireland where the purse gets 50,000 or 59,000 to the winner. So she will also, if she has success, make quite a few quid.
Okay, time for our weekly points to pointing update with our friends at Thoroughbid. And also brought to you, of course, by the Pointing Pointers podcast, an outstanding podcast. And if you haven't listened to it, why not? Sam Davis Thomas and Ben Atkins. Ben Atkins with us as he is every week. Ben, the Thoroughbid sale closes quite soon, so we better tell people about that first of all.
Yep, absolutely. There's another sale in May. Entries close next Friday, the 17th, and consignment is risk-free again. So, yep, no sale, no fee. It'd be really interesting to see what lots emerging from that.
Good. Right. We need to start with Cheltenham on Friday night, the Hunter Chase night. This is very much the centrepiece of the season for the point-to-pointing community. What were the big stories?
So the first race, quite annoyingly, Nick, I was still trying to park the car at the time, but the first race was won by Freddie Phillipson, so who gave A Jet of Our Own a great ride, snatching victory from the well-touted Fear Jaguan in the first race. Really, really well executed ride. I actually spoke to Will Biddick that night as we're driving home, and he keeps a keen eye on Freddie. I think he rides out for him, etc. And the whole camp were over the moon with how he gave the horse a very patient ride and wound him up in excellent style to get up close home. So that was in the first. Perhaps the most impressive winner of the night was Gaborio, ridden by young pilot Harry Middleton, who is actually now the pupil assistant to Wally Greenhall and Josh Guerrero, a yard that are going great guns, and they won the four-miler. He finally got his day in the sun, having came off the horse at Aintree, and you know, he stayed exceptionally well, as did Master Templar, runner for Tom and Gina, formerly with Ollie Murphy, of course, went off like a bat out of hell and somehow still managed to stay the trip. It was quite a closely run thing in the end, coming second, so that was a very, very impressive performance from both horses. Also noteworthy, Nick, Late Night Rumble ran in the intermediate, the latest in the Ellis homebreds to run in the race, nearly emulating what two of his siblings had done to date, winning before going on to greater things. Late Night Pass won the race in 2021, and Late Night Fumble won it in 2022. And you know, it was nearly the turn of Late Night Rumble this time, but the race was in fact won by the excellent Iskandar Pekos, who is a very, very useful operator, as he keeps proving.
Yeah, talking of useful operators, Punches Down, It's on the Line, did it again. Of course, the flag bearer for our friends at Thoroughbid.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking like a very, very good value purchase, isn't he? And yeah, I mean, It did look for a moment that the English raider, famous Clermont for Chris Barber, was going to have his day. But if the keen eyed amongst you would have spotted that Derek O'Connor was swinging off the bridle, and it was the writing was on the wall. Unfortunately, famous Clermont stopped quite quickly, having made a mistake. But all plaudits to Chris for going over there and having a crack. You don't know unless you try, do you? So fair enough.
What about the point of pointing this week? Bank Holiday Monday, there's always a good crowd at Mullington.
Yeah, absolutely. There was good crowds all over the country this weekend, Nick, which is great to see. Item were racing on Bank Holiday as well. As you say, I was at Mullington with Charlie Post on Monday, and really, really taken by a quick double for young jockey Tom Hutsby, who won the first two races. Now, I was talking through the technicalities with his jockey coach and friend Charlie Post, who was explaining to young Tom that if he was to ride another winner on the card from his following two rides, that he actually wouldn't be able to protect his novice status for next season. So the decision was taken that if he was going to ride any more on the day and put himself in an awkward situation, it'd be best not to take those rides at all. So quite unusually, he stood himself down for the rest of the day to ensure that he can go into next season still a novice. He's 16 years old and gave the first two home a proper ride. Really, really interesting to watch. Great racing all day, really. But I thought that was quite interesting. Ed Vaughan's got the novice title well and truly sewn up this year. So it was a good bit of plotting from Tom to take himself out of the equation. And definitely a jockey going places and one to watch. There was a hive of celebrity on Monday, Nick, with Cornelius Lycett was there, Christian Horner was there, and even Sam Whaley Cohen, that Grand National winning jockey was there, and of course Shirley von Tattersall. So a whole host of international celebrities at Mullington on Monday.
And only one of those is married to a former Spice Girl. Right, onwards. Who's leading the title races?
So the Newman team continue to wind things up from the front. Josh Newman showing no signs of stopping in the trainer's title. Alan Hill, Fran Nimmo, Gina Andrews and Max Comley are all still in the mix. But after the dust settled on the weekend, they're now two clear on 21 winners across the season. So, yeah, it's going to be nip and tuck. And it does, I know we keep saying it, but it does add a layer of intrigue. People really throwing darts and running things that they were not quite sure they were going to run the week before. They're just really nailing their colours to the mast and giving it a good go. So it's making some really competitive racing and some intriguing weekends.
And a treble for Kelly Morgan across the weekend, I see.
Yeah, that was really nice. She's going great guns as well. She hasn't quite got the same firepower as some of these bigger yards. But she does incredibly well with what she has and always has done. She had three winners, two seconds, a third and a fourth. Giving rides as well to Ellie Callwood, who I thought was worth a mention. She had a treble across the weekend for Kelly and gave another ride to a young pilot called Amy Jones, who's done exceptionally well with the amount of rides that she's had. The girls were showing the boys how it's done all weekend with Clara Brewer. It's actually a local to me originally from Lincolnshire, young jockey now with Phil Rowley, showing the boys how it's done. And lots of good racing this weekend. But I always think it's a good calling card for our sport that the boys compete against the girls, and it's often the girls that come out on top.
And finally tonight?
Oh, yeah. So, Nick, I just wanted to give quick mention to a lovely victory for rookie trainer, but it's an unbelievable horseman and a great character who's actually a great friend of mine. I will let that one slip. Neil Gittins is training one for me and a great bunch from South Shropshire, who invariably doesn't really fancy trying to trouble the judge, Nick, but he's managed to win with a maiden horse called Hope Valley, who was bought out of the Skelton Yard and has won on his first start in a point-to-point. Ridden by a true sportsman in Guy Sankey, another great character. But it was a really, really popular winner at Eton at the weekend. Gitto, as he's known to his friends, is the field master of the local pack there, who incidentally is hunted by Dan Cherriman, who's an amateur jockey and also the huntsman there. Many listeners to the podcast will in some way be connected to or at least aware of the infamous Gitto, and I'm really, really chuffed for him and all the team. As I say, hugely popular winner down at Eton, which was really well attended, as was many point-to-points across the weekend, Nick. So great to see the sport in good health.
And in one fell swoop, from Mullington to Happy Valley, here's Jim McGrath.
Nick, Zach Purton is rarely out of the headlines in Hong Kong. The Aussie jockey who's brought a level of professionalism to the ranks that reminds me a lot of what AP McCoy achieved with his incredible sequence of 20 jumps jockeys titles a couple of decades ago. That sequence, of course, started in the 1990s. Zach is 100% dedicated to staying top dog in Hong Kong, registering his 100th winner of the season at Sha Tin on Sunday. He's heading for his 7th Jockeys Championship in Hong Kong. And if he embarks on another season, he'll have Dougie White's all-time record in his sights. Zach says his body is telling him the end is not far off, but he is still relentless in his pursuit of winners, which should, of course, continue on the 9-race card at Happy Valley today. Meanwhile, he can also contemplate the prospect of riding Voyage Bubble in the Yasuda Kinnan, a Group 1 race in Tokyo next month. Trainer Ricky Yu has booked Purton, as it seems likely that Romantic Warrior will also go for the same Japanese Group 1, and James McDonald will ride if that is the case. Anyway, back to Happy Valley today with the 9 races. Zach Purton, I think, will win the finale, race 9, with number 8, Super Joy and Fun. He's trained by Benno Jung, who's been on the sick list. He's been in hospital for a month, but he's still sending out the winners. And Super Joy and Fun is unbeaten in 2 starts. A 3-year-old from New Zealand, looks like he has plenty of ability. So I think he'll go in this time and defeat number 2, Sports Legend, who's trained by Danny Shum. So that's in race 9, take a tote swinger, 8, Super Joy and Fun, and 2, Sports Legend. Earlier on, Zach rides Mr. Aladdin in race 6, number 8, Mr. Aladdin, who I think, despite being a maiden, is now well and truly on the right winning mark. And I think he can go in this race over 1,800 metres, a mile and 1 furlong, to beat number 2, Serangoon. And his other big chance on the card, race 7, number 10, Zach Purton aboard number 10, Chain of Gold for Cody Moe. So that's all on the Hong Kong beat this week. I'll have more for you next week.
Now, Jane is still with me. Jane, do you have a tip for me for today?
I do indeed. I'm coming a little bit closer to home. Goran Park, 6:50. It's the Victor McCalmon Stakes. It's a listed race for fillies over the best part of 10 furlongs. And I like Empress of Beauty, who won on her debut last year quite impressively over course and distance. And she's had some good runs in defeat, but her last run, she kind of curtailed her career as a 3-year-old. She's back as a 4-year-old for Henry de Bromhead, and I think she could run a big race in the 6:50. That's Empress of Beauty under Billy Lee.
Jane, thank you very much. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back to it again tomorrow with reflections from the first day of Chester's May Festival. That was Wednesday, May the 8th. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Nick Luck Daily, brought to you by Timeform, the trusted source of racing data and analysis, by the Racehorse Owners Association, and by the Racing App in partnership with FitStairs.